Brainwashing going on. It's just in a more subtle form. if you really watch and you actually try not to listen to like what they're doing, like I'll mute politicians and watch them. And when you look at the colors they're wearing, the colors on the podium, everything around them, the way they're moving their hands and stuff, their body language and everything is very, very controlled and very specific.
They have a message. They have people. They pay trillions of dollars to pick out their tie.
Yeah, that's funny shit. I don't mind having that job. Oh, sorry.
I've seen your clothes, dude.
So
I'd like to point out though that if you're like myself and Sean, and you don't watch a lot of television or listen to a lot of radio, you're not nearly as susceptible because you're not as exposed to it as the common person that runs right home and watches TV all day.
I rarely
watch TV myself, and the reason why I don't is because, like, honestly, and this is like, this actually started. Television gives me headaches. It moves too fast. The images do. So it does. It makes me headachey if I watch anything more than about an hour of TV.
See, I can leave the TV on running, but it's mostly Cartoon Network or Daily Show.
You did not just say that shit.
Yeah.
I hate cartoons, man. That's like the worst.
I love them. I mean, you can do so much more in a cartoon than you can do in an actual show. And the crazier it is, the crazier the more I appreciate it. The more outlandish and absurd something is, the more it amuses me. So are we going to talk about politicians and how they're paying people to pick their clothes? But I don't think that's a secret. I think that's been around for like a millennia.
As
long as there's been kings, there's been that form of control being implied, I think.
Yeah, it's a form of social manipulation. Everybody does it. I mean, when you go for a job interview, you're going to put on your best clothes and try to pick out your stuff to make yourself appear and get that first appearance or get that first impression out there. I mean, that's just standard. Mm-hmm. Shit, LaVey covered it. I mean, everybody does it.
Everybody does it, or I don't think that most people consciously do it is really the difference, is that most people don't really consciously think about what they're projecting when they get dressed. They tend to view it more as kind of a form of self-expression, and I can wear whatever I want, rather than stepping outside and thinking, well, how will other people perceive you if you wear this? And when
That's
you
a pop topic, kid.
That, it's actually...
Sorry. I said except hot topics.
Well,
I was just being stupid.
You're fine. No, I was going to say that, you know, if you actually do that, that the results can be very, very interesting.
Overall, as a general overview opinion of everything here, is, you know, political systems, fashion, media, broadcast, and, you know, just the media in general, in my opinion, these things aren't necessarily inherently bad or wrong. It's just the system that has dominated them, that's not letting, you know, humanity can't use these things the way we would like. We're stuck with what they issue, you know, and it's the issue, what they have issued, that is broken, and not necessarily the medium or the venue.
That's why we need the internet. And we need the internet to stay free.
But the internet's, well, at least in some ways, going to possibly become more government-controlled with these new laws, because it's looking like it's going to be passed.
Yeah, I'm aware of that. I'm trying to spread information about that as much as possible. And I'm pleased that a lot of the sites I visit have the censorship bar with the petition popping up on it.
Yeah.
I was going to say, Pup put a link in the send chat the other day that went to an interesting site where it was collecting names. Now, I'll admit, I didn't add my name to it because I don't like to just advertise my person, but talk a little bit about that site that you were pointing out to everybody.
Was it the petition?
It was the petition, but I can't remember exactly what it was petitioning. It was a particular act that they were going to sign, and basically people were voting against it before it even went up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, there's the Internet Blacklist, which is, it might have been the one I sent out. It was the censoring the Internet. What they're going to do is hold sites responsible for user-uploaded content.
That's right.
Sites like YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Blog Talk Radio, meaning corporations can sue these sites and shut them down for having shit that a user put up. Now, that might sound like a decent idea and like protection of property or intellectual property, as it may be, but the reality of it is it'll ruin the Internet. It will. Think about how much commercial stuff people put up daily. It'll shut down YouTube. It'll shut down Twitter. It'll fucking destroy everything.
But give me an example. I remember reading over it, but I don't remember it verbatim. Let's say we're talking about YouTube. And if I went on YouTube and I posted a video that said, for instance, fuck such and such a company, that company could then sue YouTube, right? So how
possibly
that's
for defamation of character?
Right, but that's inadvertently saying that it's now illegal to have negative opinions of your oppressors. Like you have to enjoy the company, or it's, you know, it's illegal to say I don't approve of such and such a company. That's now illegal, is basically what's taking place.
Well, it wouldn't be legal. It would grant corporations the right to sue the website itself for, in that instance, defamation of character. Now, the reality is that probably would not sit well in court. I mean, they're really going to say, oh, yeah, some idiot uploaded shit on YouTube. Yeah, we're not going to have YouTube pay you to compensation for losses you might have incurred from that video. But what it would do is wrap YouTube up in financial issues, the kinds of which would just be fucked up of having to defend itself repeatedly in court. Well, the main problem is, like, how many music videos are up on YouTube right now? How many movie clips are up on YouTube right now? YouTube has minimal control over what people upload. And they've been taking shit down in the name of Warner Brothers media groups and that stuff. But if the bill passed, what would happen is these corporations could sue YouTube directly, regardless of their actions in trying to remove the stuff. And it's not that the suing would do it. The court fees, the legal fees, and all this stuff would bankrupt the company.
Well, I mean, I agree with what's going on in the chat. I agree that I don't see that bill or that act being passed. But if it did, they would have to shut down so much shit, man. They would have to shut down the fucking Internet just because, I mean...
Well,
eventually...
no. I mean, it has to be pretty simple. Like, YouTube or something like that could approve videos instead. And that's where the real line would come in, which is rather than you just being able to freely put up whatever you want, then you would have the company probably passing something to the effect of, much like that spin, you know, they could take it on and off auto-approved for users. You turn it off because the video has to be approved by somebody that works for YouTube, which means that then, now you're being censored. Yeah.
Which means they need to hire somebody to be there to upload or to verify the millions of videos uploaded daily.
Right, but keep in mind, even if that happened, let's say that happened at YouTube, whether they shut YouTube down or whether they just censored everything, it's the same equivalent. Everyone that didn't want to be censored, they're going to say, go to Facebook. And then they're going to do the same thing to Facebook. And then everybody's going to leave Facebook and go to Sin. And then they'll shut down Sin. And eventually, everybody's going to end up wherever they can have freedom of speech until they shut down any venue upon which you can speak freely.
Yeah, and that's what the fear is, and that's what the very real threat of these types of laws are. Is, and they wouldn't sue Sin like Zach, they'd sue Whackwall and shut down all the networks on it.
Exactly.
So that entire media outlet is gone.
Fish,
And that's another issue they're facing, because you wouldn't be able to start a web business, because one slip up would fucking ruin you, and you'd have a corporation you've never heard of suing your ass.
Well, I was going to say, too, when you mentioned sin, I was thinking, too, like, you know, wasn't it, what, a week or two ago that somebody was uploading, like, nudie pics of kids, and they deleted them and stuff? Like, that's the other thing, is that they could start trying to hold Whack-Wall responsible for, like, stupid shit like that, you know?
Yeah, that's why the majority of the people who are against it are from 4chan, of all the asinine places. Because 4chan, I don't know who's ever been there, but it's mostly a picture board. And it's, if you want to go a place which violates copyright infringement every few seconds, it'd be 4chan.
Has anyone seen these? Go ahead, Daryl.
My bad. I was just going to ask, you know, what was defamation of character? Was that the ultimate reason that they gave for even bringing that up whatsoever? Was that basically companies were butthurt?
No, protection of intellectual property.
Uh-huh.
It has nothing to do with people talking shit. They don't give a shit. Does anybody care? It's the equivalent if someone went on YouTube and made a video about you being a dick. What the fuck do they care? It's like, people are going to talk shit regardless. But when people post stuff that they own the rights to, that's when it becomes an issue.
Uh-huh.
That's what the whole point of it was.
Mm-hmm.
All right, guys, we got 45 minutes. Somebody say something. Come up with something quick.
Piracy. What's up in the world of piracy? I like how Pirate Bay has been under direct attack for a few years now, and they're still going strong, right?
They actually arrested a few members of that group, actually.
Oh yeah,
Bay has been working for a long fucking time to keep its ass out of trouble.
But overall...
No, Demonoid got shut down, 2 years ago? They had to switch over to Demonoid.me?
Yeah. They do. They shut these sites down. I mean, let's not, joke around, these sites have been up forever and they can't be touched. No, they have been shut down multiple times.
Yeah.
But people are willing to put them back up and say, fuck you.
I honestly can't remember how long I've been using Pirate Bay. That's I use a lot of them because you find different content on different torrent sites. But Pirate Bay is one of my favorites. It's been up forever.
Let's see. I'm trying to find another one. It's the IP bills that keep coming back. Ones that would give government complete, almost constant information of what you're doing online. And I'm looking for it. There's so fucking many of them. It seems like every few months somebody tries it again.
Isn't it something like they basically want to be able to grab websites' IP, everybody that's using the site, they want to grab those IP addresses to track them?
Yeah. The last one I was aware of is they were going to make it a law that all ISPs would need to record everything that all their users do and monitor it.
Actually, dude, some have.
Yeah, some do. I mean, it's not a secret. I mean, if you're on a certain ISP and you try to go to a different ISP's site, there's a good chance it'll take a long time to load. It's an amusing example, but that's what it is, because they have control over it, and they have control over the bandwidth.
Some people have gotten cease and desist letters from their ISP because they were downloading, you know, illegal movies, shit like that. Piracy, basically. Threatening to shut them down.
Well, there was the one that was the Protect Children Act, or the Online Child Protection Act, where they were going to, the basis of it was to stop kiddie porn by logging every user's IP address. What?
That's not exactly a bad thing at all, really. I mean, really.
Right. That's not bad at all. I mean, if they catch a bunch of pedos, then not for real. If they catch a bunch of pedos, fuck them. But like, if they treat somebody,
they're gonna catch everybody else too.
Well, I mean, I agree. If they treat me the same because I downloaded, you know, the new Predator movie, you know, I don't want to be sitting
in
prison beside a pedo, you know.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's it goes back to something. I actually gave a speech on this in my class last week about giving up freedom for security. And you guys have just, you've illustrated the problem that we face when we need to implement measures like that, or the want to implement measures like that. We're like, oh, no, that doesn't sound like a bad idea. But when you got to seriously think about it, they're going to log everything. And they're not going to come after just the pedos.
No.
And
to gain a way to basically get access to everybody. Like, you know, they use pedos because everybody's like, well, take them, you know, go break them out, shoot them in the head, but they're also going to be tracking me because it passed too, and everybody else. You know, yeah, it's one of the things that I always hate that because it's always just like, well, you bastards, you always do this. You slide things in where, like, then I have to turn around and go, no, I don't support catching pedophiles online. You know, like, I have to, like, actually go there. That's not, it tips me off.
Well, they word these things, so if anybody tries to argue against it, you're like, oh, so you support child porn. They're like, no.
Yeah.
I just don't support your right to log every user's activity. So you do support child porn. It's like, no.
But that's exactly what they do, man. That's exactly what
they do. Luckily, that bill did not pass, just so you guys know.
Yes.
But they keep trying under different names and different contexts.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, just be aware of that. So if one day you try to log on to the Ooze and it won't load because Blog Talk Radio has been shut down for copyright infringement, yeah, you can thank your Congress.
Mm-hmm.
But while we're on the topic of technology, I want to bring up internet security. With me and LCV were talking this morning. I'm sure you all are familiar with LCV, and he's one of those dudes who sit around and come up with weird conspiracy theories of what the government is doing.
Good old Sam.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're not all wrong, but I explained to him that if data is encrypted, then it's really fucking hard to unencrypt. You know what I mean? it's not like they can sit there and clear everything that's sent through that's encrypted. And the point I was trying to say is, like, yeah, they're monitoring shit. I mean, let's have no illusions about that. I mean, I have no real illusion that most of the shit we do online is monitored somewhere, especially when keywords popping up, you know. And that system is already out there. It's probably been implemented for decades. But the reality is, if you're using a secure website to access information, that information gets encrypted on the page and sent through. And I was trying to do the math for him, and I couldn't, so I had to Google it. And let's take password security for a minute. If you have a program that tries to brute force a password 15 million tries a second, now this is basing that the password isn't in the dictionary. So it's a combination of letters, numbers, capital, and undercase. At 50 million tries a second, if your password is 9 digits in length, it will take 1,000 years to crack by brute force.
Nice.
Now take that information and encrypt an entire paragraph. If you do not have the encryption key or the algorithm to get the encryption key, what's the chance of somebody fucking cracking it?
Right, but keep in mind, someone's not trying to, they're not going to be dumb enough to crack the paragraph. They want the key. They're going to crack whatever's holding the key before they attempt the paragraph.
Yeah.
least I would. That's my style anyway. You know, fuck trying to read the shit, you know, until you have the key. My goal would be the key.
Well, yeah, but that's when the trick is in getting the key. And I don't know if you noticed, Google now when you go to it is HTTPS, which is secure, HTTPS.
Right.
It's a secure protocol. So what you're sending in and typing in is encrypted, then sent to the server, decrypted using their key, and you receive the shit back on your web page. Which is actually kind of nice, and I appreciate that they do that. But I think that's because I'm logged into Google right now, and I'm not sure how I did that. But
right. Well, I had, if I'm not terribly mistaken, I had add-ons in my Firefox browser that did that before it was standard.
There, here's bringing up something right now about 128-bit keys. Secure your shows. There we go. All right. 128-bit key has... Wow, I can't even pronounce that number. Yeah, it's well over. There's so many zeros on the amount of possible key combinations that, yeah, I actually have no way of actually saying that. You know, it was just copy and pasted into the chat, and somebody else can count up the zeros.
Well, and the other thing, too, with the Internet is that there's so much activity going on at the moment that it's probably really difficult to actually track individuals and even want to keep track of it. I mean, it's so much information coming in and going out, you know, constantly on the Internet. I know I'm being monitored, but I also figure that I'm probably the most insignificant thing out there in comparison to, you know, other things that they're looking for. So I don't actually really overly worry about it because I figure, like, you know, I'm basically a needle in a haystack.
Right, but I mean, I think the reason that, you know, they're so adamant about what they're doing is because there's probably as many needles as straws of hay now. Because, I mean, there's a lot of people pissed off, and they're becoming very educated.
Yep.
Well, some of them. Most of them are around bitching.
Right. I mean, and I don't disagree with that. But there's probably in this particular generation, there's more educated, pissed off people than, you know, people bitching that matter anyway.
Which is the most dangerous thing.
Right.
Well, yeah, guys, it was today with Fuck FBI Friday, and Anti-Sec is they're releasing a shitload of emails from the FBI.
That's some beautiful shit, too, man. The motherfucker had, in the middle of all that shit, he had his man looking for woman ad. What was his name?
I know the other one's
good. I don't know.
I was worried about that one.
What was that again, sir?
Yeah, dear, I don't know, man. You're going to have to look it up on your own.
Anyway, his name's not important, but, like, in the middle of all that fucking shit that they were going through, it was talking about tactics and basically educating people to the tactics that they employ. So, like, if you want to cover your ass, you know, here's what they're looking for. And then it had the whole bit on his he subscribed to some dating service, and he had his he had his shit up, like, I'm looking for a woman and blah, blah, blah. It was just hilarious.
Oh, yeah, dude. No, just, like, a lot of the shit we get from those emails is pretty useless. But then a lot of the shit they get is just straight wonderful. Is anybody else getting an echo?
Yeah, a little bit from you.
Yeah, dude, I don't know what that's about. I apologize.
I don't know, you're all pretty clear on my end.
Lucky you.
Yeah, I can hear everybody, yeah.
Fuck. Well, of course, running a lot of things on my computer right now, so I can't, like, complain.
Yeah, forgive me for my quietness. I'm actually looking up some information that Zier linked in the chat.
Go on. What's that, man?
Yeah, so go on, because I'm getting an echo anyway, so just continue. I'm gonna look at this stuff real quick.
As far as I'm concerned, the most valuable information in that particular little nugget was the where they were listing the tactics that they were employing to try and detect people that were up to a mischievous deed, so to speak. So being aware of what it is they're looking for is probably your best defense, and not sticking your head out in the spotlight, so to speak. A lot of data.
Well, yeah, that makes sense. Well, yeah, that makes sense. I'm pretty sure that the tone that's going on between the Occupy movement and Anonymous in general and the government, I'm pretty sure that they're going to start really watching people that are sympathetic to Anonymous or are associated with Anonymous. That's pretty much, I'm pretty sure that's part of why they're trying to get these things to pass, is because I think that they want, I really get the feeling the government wants to effectively and once and for all shut that shit down, because it's being more than just a common nuisance. It's actually turning into a thing at this point. It's no longer, I think at first, when it first started, it was sort of like a fly buzzing around, the government's head, and it's turning into more than that at this point.
No, after like, how many months has it actually been now? They're finally getting, national coverage across most of the major news organizations, ABC, NBC, things like that.
Yeah, but it's all distorted. It's all distorted. It's none.
Actually, it was kind of funny. ABC actually did a really good piece on it, talking about the arrests that they had there. Basically, they had gone in and arrested a whole bunch of people, and they showed the bloody faces of people and things like that. And it was, they definitely painted it a little better than they possibly have been.
Mm-hmm.
So, though, in honesty, a lot of people there at these things probably do not know why they're actually there, what the group message is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. It's become a trend, but it really does. It really reminds me of the hippie movement, in that that was a small thing, and it grew into a really, really, really large thing really quickly. And there were some people that were, hardcore and had, those ideologies, and that's what they wanted to see happen. And then there were the other people who just sort of thought it was cool, Well, that's what I'm saying, is that that's what's happening with Anonymous right now, is that it's turning into that. Yeah, and it's actually really fascinating, because it just does show that people are discontent. It's just that, at least in my opinion, they're not discontent enough, because it just seems to me like it's becoming violent, but it's becoming violent on the government's end, and I don't know how effectively, they're fighting back, so to speak, which is kind of annoys me a little bit.
Who, the protesters or the cops?
No, the protesters. I mean, some cop is, there's been so many things that they were just completely unprepared for, or weren't even anticipating having to, deal with as an issue, and that's kind of, you know, like the food thing. Food is a big one. Or they had a big there was the porta potties here, getting those out there. And that was like an epic, you know, fucking event in Nashville. Like, it made the news because they didn't have any. They didn't have any. And, like, it's these kind of things that just make me go, gosh, you know, like, you show up with a battle plan, so to speak, if you're going to do something like this, you know? I mean, and that's the main thing, you know? It's like you come prepared.
I don't think anyone ever goes into those things at least completely prepared. I mean, it's almost impossible to go in completely prepared into any actual situation. Almost.
Well, yeah, no, I know that, but no, it just here. Now, I found this one interesting. Was that one of the things that they did here when they were trying to get the Occupy Nashville to leave Legislative Plaza was that what they actually did was that they pulled out the police monitoring the area. Entirely. There's no police force whatsoever. That was the first tactic. And there were a bunch of crime that happened in the you know, camp there, and the cops wouldn't come out. They just refused to. They declared it a non-policed territory, basically, which I've never even heard of, but that's what they did here. And they did that for a while. Then they tried arresting people. And then several judges said, you can't do that. They have the right to be there. So they had to let everybody's been back now. I mean, they've been back for a few weeks now. But, yeah, no, it's been a bit of a watching the Tennessee government trying to deal with the Occupy movement here has been hilarious. And I actually found the yanking security away thing very interesting. I was like, I wouldn't actually think that would be the route that the government would go. I just, fine, we won't police it. So then, of course, what are they doing? Begging for the police to be there.
Yeah.
It's like, duh, you know, what are you doing? You know, no, you should be, and that's my main thing is that, you know, security should have been taken care of from the beginning. Yeah, and on their own, without the police having to do it. That's ridiculous, you know?
Well, cops have been, at least the Occupy movement, they've been, most of them pretty decent. Most of them haven't been over-abrasive, have not overused their, you know, their reach. But there's also been quite a few downsides. I mean, you have a few rogue cops who are quite assholes. Understandable. I mean, you have that in any walk of life anyways, so it's medical profession or whatever. But one of the biggest issues I actually kind of had, it was within about a month and a half into the movement, and a woman at the Zuccotti Park was raped. She was a participant there and everything else, and the cops pretty much refused to do anything about it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it plays into their hand if they can say, look what happens when you do this, and then they point to something like that.
Yeah, dude, they completely just made it, you know, painted it out to be her fault. And
right.
Or damn, it's never the woman's fault. It isn't, man. She had probably
or the
been
fault
asked to be
of
raped.
The
crowd. Shit. Sorry,
yeah,
I didn't rant.
No. I mean, but that's the point. It's either her fault or the fault of the crowd. But it's everybody's fault except for the police. And it's basically them making a statement, if you weren't doing this, that wouldn't have happened. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
What are we
talking
about?
Well, and the thing is, like, you know, it that's reported death too. And as a woman, okay, then if I want to go out there, you know, and I do go out there, but I don't spend the night. I can't, and I can't be out there all the time. I go bring water, and I go out there, I don't know, a few times a week, you know, basically to kind of see what's going on. But I won't stay the night there, and I won't stay the night there because. This was pretty much the moment I was like, I'm not actually going to occupy Nashville because I was told by one of the guys that was organizing it that I could not take my gun with me, and I have a concealed
weapon.
No. What? They said you're not. Yeah, I'm not allowed to have my firearm in the encampment.
have a concealed weapon.
Well, no, Nashville, I mean, come on, man. People in Nashville, they have more guns than they do bread and milk in their house, crying out loud.
I'm not going to sleep in a tent with a bunch of guys around me without, you know, a piece of cold steel at my side. I'm sorry. It's not going to happen. And I feel
right.
really
you
yeah.
don't, but here's the issue with that. If you take a gun into a situation like this and something happens like it did in New York or in Portland, what's going to happen when the cops run in on you and take you and you have a gun?
Well, I mean, that,
I have a license. I'm legal.
That, it doesn't matter if
it doesn't
you
matter
have
if you're legally there. You've already broken the law.
But right, check this out. Well, anytime, you know, the law is there, regardless of what's taking place, the law can do whatever they want because they have some sort of position that's above that of a civilian. They're above civil law. You're bound to civil law. And under civil law, in that context, anytime people come together to represent themselves as their own security or, you know, a single lone woman with a gun, anytime you take up arms for yourself, that's not defense. That's terrorism. You know what I
yep.
mean? So only they...
When I got my license, there's a list of places I can't take it. And ironically enough, like, to me, there are places that, like, I think that one's kind of needed. Like, I don't know. I mean, like, I understand you can't take a gun in the courthouse. That makes sense. You know, like, I wouldn't want to be, you know, having some... But you know what I'm saying. Like, you know, I can get that from the government briefing, but I can't have it in a park.
All that comes down to when the law says you can't have a gun in this place, that they're creating a law that says you cannot be as powerful as me. You cannot have the authority I have. You can't be equal to me. In this area, it is designated that I be superior to you. That's all they're saying. You know, they can call it whatever they want. That's what they're saying. I have to be superior to you in this place.
Yeah. Well, and like here, too, like the mall. I can't carry my gun in the mall. They have a no-gun sign up. Yeah. I was asked to leave by security one day. I was asked to leave the mall by security with my kids because it's not – the mall is not in the best part of town, okay? Like – but, you know, it hits the news reports every couple months, if you get my meaning, you know, somebody got mugged or something. And I like to take my kids there. I was actually, they have a playground in there, so I was taking the kids there. You know, I got stopped by security. I had to turn my gun in. I got to pick it up when I left. They ran it to confirm it was registered to me. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I was pissed. I was like, I will never buy anything in this mall, ever. I'll never buy anything here.
Well, here's
you know.
The fact, man. Do you respect people's, and I hate to do this, but corporations' right to decide their own rules on their property?
No, I don't.
No.
You don't?
No,
you don't
no.
You don't think you have a right to say what goes on in your house?
That's a totally different thing because to me.
How is it different?
I am
you own the property.
Yes.
So what if you're a customer? It's not your land.
I'll tell you what, and there's a reason I disagree with that, is because I don't agree with the common understanding or the common concept of ownership. I don't. It's like, no, I'm serious. Like you can claim some like an area until you die. With that, I understand. But like you can't own land. You can't point to a piece of the planet and say, I own this. That's hilarious.
I don't know. That's
I
what you get money
really
for.
Like
it's mine,
that.
Dude.
That's
I don't give a good goddamn. It's mine. Screw you, dude.
I'm willing to back that up, but in the current situation of things, that's not how it works. You're willing to give up your right to your house unless you defend it through your life, which I respect. I do.
Yeah. The law of any particular land has to be the law of every house in that land. I don't see that the law can be just when any house you go into, the law is different in different houses. You know what I mean? That's just kind of...
You don't think people have a right to decide their own rules? Oh, no,
yeah,
sure.
And I have the right as a consumer to say,
since you've made this rule, I am not going to go here. And I have the right to tell everybody I know that you know, is in the NRA or is at the gun range or wherever, people that would, like, vibe with that, hey, you know, you can't carry your gun there. You see what I'm saying? And they have the right not to go. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
It's not that technically I disagree with it, so I will not patronize them. It's, that to me is how you do that. You know, that to me is how this works, is that, you know, my money is how they keep going, so I just won't give them my money anymore.
Right, but that brings it right back to the point of asking, you know, what gives, you know, and I understand saying, well, this is my store, this is my company, and if you don't like the rules, you know, go somewhere else. Right. And I get that to a certain extent, but at the same time, if that company's purpose is to serve, like, say that company's run by 50 people, but it serves 5,000 people, I say the power and the decision should be in the hands of the 5,000 rather than the 50. Fuck those 50
people.
And it
is. You can choose not to go there.
But
exactly.
What about the case in which they have a monopoly on a certain product? Something that people have to have.
Like what, water?
Well,
anything. Anything you have to have. Food, water, clothing, whatever. That something in
a world, you just listed stuff you can all make yourself.
Right. In a world where people don't make that for themselves, they have a monopoly on it. So until we can do that for ourselves, you know, once we can do that for ourselves, those companies become irrelevant. But they're very relevant right now because people aren't doing that for themselves.
Daryl, see, to me, that's like a big part of my own personal thing, is to make, at least for me personally, as much of that shit irrelevant because I can do it myself as possible. You know, and if you really think outside the box, there are ways to do these things without having to, you know, like, I never go to Walmart. I don't have to. Do I sometimes spend more for something because I refuse to go to Walmart? Yeah, but it's a trade-off that I'm willing to do because I despise everything Walmart stands for, and I can find it, and if I can't find it, and it's only at Walmart, and I can't find it online, I probably don't need it anyways.
Well, I mean, and I understand what you're saying, and I don't want you guys to get me wrong, but think about this. If I came, you know, knocking at your door saying, hey, I've got this brand new way to live, and, you know, I can make my own food and my own clothes. And then you look at me, and I've got a handful of carrots, and I'm dressed in, you know, brown paper bags. You're going to think I'm a fucking idiot.
Exactly.
No,
you know, yeah, no, exactly. But, like, when it comes to clothing, you don't have to buy, you don't ever have to buy clothing new. You know, you can always, and I actually do that, you can always buy it secondhand. You can always find it, you know, at a yard sale or, you know, I have a friend of mine who, she was going through the pregnant and still really heavy thing, and I had lost all the weight, and we traded wardrobes. That's where, like, 90% of my clothes came from, is that she was about the size I was when I was fat, and I had lost weight, so I gave her all my clothes, and she gave me all of her skinny clothes. You know, there's ways around it.
That's awesome. I'm not knocking that. I guess my overall point would be that, you know, faced with the fact that we have to do something about the world that we live in, rather than simply withdrawing from the system entirely and being self-sufficient in defiance of them, I say that on certain levels it's necessary, rather than withdrawing, just simply rearranging and taking over certain things, lest we all end up, like Pup said, looking like the Mexican with a handful of carrots dressed in paper bags.
I do agree with that on one level, but my main thing for me personally is that if I can actually figure out how to do this as close to free of the system as possible, and, you know, as close to as off the grid as possible as I can. And I have kids, so having children changes everything, because no matter what I do, the system's got me. They've got me because I've got kids. I have to conform to certain state laws involving their education, their level of housing, blah, blah, blah. You know,
which
I can't go run off and live in a one-bedroom shack and
never send them to school because I'm against the school system, and I can't do that because I'd lose them. So I have to figure out ways to do it where they're going to be like, well, you know, you're homeschooling them legally, blah, 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 you know, so it's fine, for example. But, you know, my main goal is basically to, if I can set an example of how it can be done where you're less plugged in, then maybe other people may opt to do, you know, if I do 100 things and other people opt to do only 5 things that I did, that did make a difference.
Right. Well, I mean, in other words, instead of, you know, doing something radically, it's the same equivalent, just in smaller steps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right, right. And that's completely logical.
Oh, yeah. And, yeah, I'm trying not to become an insane person, basically. You know, I'm trying not to become one of those people where, like, you know, they're like, you know, living out in the wild somewhere, growing their own stuff and, you know, screaming about the conspiracy of the government. But mentally I'm there. So yeah, I'm hoping actually that kind of fuck you guys thing, and I don't want to be a part of it, and I refuse to be, and I'm going to figure out how to, you know, I'm going to go find a plot of land in the middle of nowhere. Like, I have these thoughts, and like build a house, and then I'm going to live there. And, like, you know, like, it's the reasons why that is not logically what I should do are readily apparent. But it's in the back of my head. I'm hoping that I kind of get toned down as I'm trying to get to the RV kind of nomadic state. But, you know, that mental, I've got to get out mentality at least gets a little less. Like, I'm hoping I calm down in that way a little bit.
Well,
all right,
I mean,
guys, I got to take off. We got, I believe, Jason and TC. So they're going to try to finish up the show. I'm out of here. So you all have a good one.
Be good, man.
All right.
Yeah, we're both here, man. It looks like.
Hey, Jason.
Hey,
and I'm gonna log off real quick. Okay, I'm going to just leave this alone because it says the host is not connected. But I think we'll be fine without having to reconnect. So we'll see if I have to continue. All right, cool. We're still rolling.
What's up, guys?
What's up, man? Yeah. Hey, to the point that you guys were talking about, you know, going out and growing your own food or whatever versus engaging the system for the things you need. You know, speaking again to somebody who has children, just like a female Satanist. Or female Satan, I'm sorry, I don't want to get your name screwed up. But from that point of view, and my thinking is that capitalism, the exchange of goods for money or whatever, that's not capitalism. The capitalism as we experience it is where there's a third party, a middleman, who determines what the commodity is, who determines what the values are, and gets a piece of every exchange. So if you still go buy your food from the market, go buy your food from the grocery store or whatever, the difference in the system that we would like to see or I'd like to see versus what we have now is that when I went to that grocery store to buy whatever it is I'm buying, the people that I'm dealing with, they own the grocery store. They're the ones actually who gathered the goods together. The farmers are right there at the market. You know, I'm getting those things from those people. So you might not have to actually go out and grow your own food in this world gone mad that we might eventually be dealing with. But it would be a little more smaller, a little more cohesive, and there wouldn't be somebody sticking their hand in your pocket every time you had a transaction with somebody else.
Oh, yeah. No, I certainly agree with that. Like, you know, produce, for example, I mean, here they have these farmers markets, and it's the farmer selling his stuff, and it's not going through the grocery store. It's losing a little bit of middleman, and you're talking to the person who grew the whatever. So, like, I go there instead of buying my stuff at, you know, like my fruits and vegetables and stuff, I buy them at farmers markets rather than going to that. Or I do the Amish for a lot of things, too. You know, there's huge Amish and Mennonite companies, not companies, but communities that, and I'll go there and buy stuff. Like, I bought my kids blankets from them. And here's the funny part. They look like comforters you go buy at, like, Walmart or whatever. They actually had character designs, like
Yeah, I found Disney Princess and cars. They'd obviously bought the material at Walmart and then made it themselves. But, yeah, I did that, you know. And I try to do those things instead as much as I possibly can. Try to be as educated as where my money's going as I possibly can at all times.
You know, the funniest thing is about a lot of the Amish communities, a lot of them, you know, they don't generally own modern-day machinery, you know, vehicles,
mm-hmm.
things of that nature. And generally, you know, around here especially, you see a large, you know, group of them coming in different vehicles. They pay drivers to drive them into town to buy, you know, supplies from different grocery stores, things of that nature. You see that probably at least maybe once, maybe twice a month. And it's definitely somewhat of a, I don't even want to say the word surreal, which you know it kind of is. I mean, you're seeing these people who are basically dressed like they just walked off the, you know, the set of some old Western or type of, you know, Little House on the Prairie type show. And here they are, you know, buying groceries for everyone else.
Yep.
Even though their products are definitely way more sophisticated and top-notch than what you'd possibly buy, well, definitely what you mostly buy at your standard retailers, whether it be Walmart, Best Buy, anything really. Also, their craftsmanship.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you want to pay them to build you brand-new windows or even build you a house, they will have 30, 40 people come out and basically do it for little to nothing. Because money is not that big of an issue to them. And you know what's the funny thing, though? Those people are freaking wealthy. They are seriously wealthy.
Yeah, but that's a little bit hypocritical to me, because if you go and you live that way in defiance of society, you do that and you're successful, and then when it comes time to go to town, you pay somebody to drive you because you're not willing to have a car. You're still riding in a car. That's
riding in it, but they're not actually allowed to drive. Different communities have certain guidelines that they follow. And different sects within the Amish community have different guidelines, Mennonites, things like that. They all have their own little code of ethics. They all have a simple structure that all of them share, but each of them have literally no additions or variances depending on that group's ideals.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a one here. They do use occasional, and he was explaining it to me, and I was like, because they sell them. They sell these stoves to heat your house, but it is an electric stove that, you know, plugs in, you know. Yeah, and he said that's within their guidelines, but they don't use any other electricity. And to me, I was like, well, you know what, that's kind of logical. I mean, you know, like, yeah, burning wood all winter, well, that's going to suck, you know, and you're going to have cold periods. So, yeah, that makes sense if they do that, you know.
But it illustrates how not everything that the system pushes, not everything that the system espouses is in itself inherently evil, that there are some things,
mm-hmm.
some rules, some laws which make perfect fucking sense. The issue is, of course, is that when the laws stop being rational, when they stop being just for the purpose of making sure that things run smoothly to everybody's best interest, that's where it becomes problematic, and that's where we're at right now, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Right. That's
more.
People often get confused when I say the system isn't bad. You know, because they're like, it's the leaders. It's the way the system's being utilized.
Mm. Right. Well, and to that, though, I would say that it's become too pervasive, the system. It's become too large, too involved, too ponderous, really. So the leaders are often fulfilling a role, in my opinion, with that. That's just their role. That's just their part in the system. So it needs to be pared down, and the way it is now, the only way you pare it down is you have to break it apart and then rebuild it.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, me and TC were talking about that on Wednesday, actually, that at this point it's too broken to fix, and it's kind of, you know, it kind of sucks in a way, you know, because, like, that realization, you know, real sucks. I've always said, you know, I like the ideals that America was founded on. I like the things that were in the Constitution and the founding documents. I don't know how we got from there to here, which really surprises me, is that, you know, there seemed to be a real fear, there seemed to be a real striving to make the U.S. government as small as possible initially. You know, but, yeah, it kind of sucks. Because, like, you know, I look at that and I go, well, you know, freedom, liberty, I mean, justice, these things, this all makes sense.
You know, it took 200 years to basically go ahead and destroy all of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, exactly. And,
well, I mean,
and
regardless.
Well, and, oh, go ahead.
Well, I mean, I was just going to say that, you know, regardless of what happened, we have this to deal with. And regardless of how we need to deal with it, I think the most important thing is to have a common goal to that we're striving towards. You know what I mean? Rather than be scattered out and basically end up like the Occupy movement, which has a million people involved that really don't have any good idea what they're doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, and I do think there is some cohesion that's occurring. Everybody seems to be sort of kind of moving in the same direction, but it's sort of in their own little ways, which I actually do like. I don't want to see, you know, what we're talking about turn into something where, like, you know, you have to do these number of things in order to do it right. But I do think that goal setting is actually a good idea, even if it's just on an individual basis. You know, like everybody has strengths and weaknesses, you know, within this group, and they should definitely, you know, focus on those, you know, and something from that.
And hey, gang, just so you're aware, we're 3 minutes outside the end of the show right now. So
no shit.
Yeah. So it's the show was over 3 minutes ago. We're recording for the archive now, though, and I'm not sure how long we can get away with that before it actually cuts that off as well. TC may or may not still be on the line, but I guess since we're in recording mode, we've been in now for almost 5 minutes. Any parting thoughts before we wrap it up?
I'd just like to say I think it was a really damn good show for a bunch of guys with no topic.
Well, real quick, I want to throw in that Sunday night we're doing, of course, the Outbreak Edition, and we're really going to want to focus back on getting into the whole strategy session idea on Sunday night. So we got some things we want to throw out there, so hopefully everybody will tune in Sunday night and continue to tune in for all the U's episodes. But if you guys could be available Sunday night at what time is it, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time? 2 hours, man. We'll be talking about more of the same.
Count me in, man.
All right, yeah.
And see you on
right
Tuesday,
on.
Jason.
Right on, man. Yeah, see you Tuesday. All right, we're out. We'll just roll the outro.
Later, guys.